Welcome everybody back to Power Word Nerd, where we're continuing our Dungeons & Dragons mini campaign. We're picking up this week as the party is deep inside the Eye of the Watcher, a mage tower, where they believe they can find one of the shards that will unlock a vault of the Dragon Slayers. The party has been split up by magical portals and are seeking to not only escape the rooms they find themselves in, but to reunite and continue their progress forward. We're starting with Usha and
Ermir.
Yeah, I kept wanting to say Errol. Usha and Ermir, who have found themselves in a room with an entire floor made of ice and strange blue orbs lighting the room around them. What do you guys want to do?
All right.
Do you guys see Don's character in the ice?
Do we see Don's character in the ice?
You do not.
Where did he go?
You do see the crystal orb that Ermir threw through the portal.
Right.
In the ice.
Strange.
Well, looks like he got out. Somehow.
He said there were a key making mold in these statues. But how did he make a key? And where did he put it?
You think he made a key out of ice?
That seems like meta knowledge that our characters wouldn't have. But what? It is a good idea.
Is it really, though? Like, there's nothing else here.
No, it's.
That's a sound plan. How do we melt it? I have a tinder box.
That might work. Let me see which rites I have. Let me see. Crimson Rite.
I will, while he's looking in, Usha will go over to one of the statues and try to find the mold that Don's character, I forget his name, was talking about.
Dothmir.
Dothmir.
Yeah, you don't even have to make a check. Like, it's pretty obvious that it's right at the base of the stone pedestal.
Okay, so I will take out my tinderbox and I will wait for Ermir to come over here.
Alright. Yeah, I'll come over there.
Actually, hold on one second. I have a water skin, so we would say that would have water in it, obviously, right?
I'd say so.
Okay.
I don't think we have to mess with this ice.
And I will pour some of the water out of my water skin until it fills the key mold. And I don't have anything to freeze it, so I will play the waiting game.
It surprisingly doesn't take very long. As soon as you finish filling up the key mold with water, you immediately begin to see the surface of the ice, or the surface of the water, begin to solidify and freeze over. And within a matter of moments, there is a solid key sitting in the mold.
Now, where do we put this?
Up your eyes to the left.
Could I investigate around a room to see if I could find the key lock?
Investigation check.
Sure.
Hold on. Let me guide you.
And I will lick the tip of my finger, pointing it on one of my sharp fang-like teeth. A trickle of blood escapes out of the fingerprint of my index finger, and I will smear it in a smooth line across Ermir's forehead.
You now have some health.
Well,
add a d4.
Thanks for that. All right. Investigation, you said?
Yes.
All right. So I got a +5 to investigation. So that's 15 plus 5. And then I rolled a 4 for his d4. So 24.
24. You begin looking around the walls, checking all the pedestals. With no luck, when just on a hunch, you begin checking the surface of the ice. And sure enough, right in the dead center of the room, you find a small keyhole in the ice itself.
Good, good, good.
All right, I'll say, hey, over here. Oh, I think I found the keyhole.
Would I assume, I never saw this, but would I assume that since I saw the orb that he threw down here, that once I do this, the ice will melt?
You can make a general intelligence check.
Damn, why do I always do the dice roller first? Fuck. Four. That's it. I'm getting real dice out. Get the clicky clacks.
There you go.
You don't even think of that. You're just kind of like, wow, I really wonder what is going to happen when I put this key in the keyhole. And
we noticed the bodies of these like frozen people under there.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I will not cast levitate, and then I will slowly insert the key into the hole and twist it.
So as you do, you hear a crack, and the key in your hand immediately melts into water. And as it hits the surface of the ice, everywhere it touches, the ice also begins to melt instantly. And soon enough, the entire surface of the ice is gone, and you find yourself falling into a room that is now completely filled with freezing water. You battle to swim to the surface and tread water, you feel a pull dragging you down deeper into the water. And it continues to drag you deeper and deeper, and the light around you is getting darker and darker until everything fades to black.
Well, I regret this immediately.
So now we find ourselves in the mirror room with Blue and Spilba.
And Spilba is the robot thing.
Spilba is the lizard folk that you captured that you've been dragging around.
Yeah.
All right, so Blue's going to walk out into the center room, and what does he see as he looks around?
So around you, you see stone walls of a similar material as the floors further below. The floor in this room is a nice, like, cream-colored marble. You don't see any seams. It seems to be like it was cut from a single piece of stone.
Oh, wow.
Is pretty impressive for the size. Aside from that, there's no adornments in the room other than the extremely large mirror dominating one of the walls. It has a elaborate wooden frame, and the mirror is pointed directly towards you. So you can see yourself, you can see Spilba. It doesn't seem like there's anything wrong with the reflection.
Spilba, where do you think this room is?
This seems to be some kind of, changing room?
Changing room? I don't see any kind to hang our clothes.
I agree. I don't know why there would be a mirror, though.
I think we should take a closer look at it. It seems to be quite elaborate.
Yes.
So you make your way over to the mirror. Still, there doesn't seem to be anything particularly unique about the mirror other than its massive size.
Is the mirror like on hinges, like in the middle? Like, does it tilt back and like forward and backwards?
No, it does seem to be a solid piece. Okay. There's no shifting on it.
All right. I'm going to take a look behind the mirror and see if there's anything or any kind of markings on the back of the mirror.
All right. So you peek around behind the back of the mirror. Strangely, the back of the mirror appears it's not solid. Like, it almost seems like you could walk through it, but it doesn't. You can't see the room you're in through the back of the mirror.
Can I see myself?
In the back?
Yeah.
No. All you see is darkness, as though it was like an open doorway into a room with no light.
Okay.
I would like to say congratulations, Joe, on not immediately murdering this NPC when the first time the two of you were alone.
Listen, that's not this character. So, I'm gonna walk back to the front of the mirror. And I'm going to kind of like knock on the glass and see if it's a liquid from what I can tell.
Okay. As you knock on the glass, the instant your hand makes contact with the glass itself, you find yourself, it's like a pulling sensation, and you feel yourself pulled into the mirror itself, and the world around you fades to black.
Oh.
And after some time, a second or an eternity, you can't even tell, you begin to feel heat.
Heat? Now, I'm in, like, this, like, pitch blackness?
Yeah, you're just, like, it's like you're floating in a void.
Gotcha.
But you suddenly begin to feel heat. And a moment later, you feel, among the heat, you feel cold pressed against your cheek. And an orange light begins to envelop you. And you find yourself lying on a stone floor. The heat in the air around you. And you kind of glance up and around, and you see this orange light reflecting on the stone walls around you, and you hear a bubbling sound in the distance. And you begin to realize you're in a natural cavern of some kind. And as you're beginning to comprehend this, a shadow falls over you. And looking up, you see the face of a red dragon looking down on you. And before you have a moment to react, his mouth opens, and a torrent of flame bellows forth, surrounding you, consuming you, and the world around you fades to black once more.
Dick?
And...
So I woke up in a nice natural cavern to have a red dragon looking down on me and breathe some fire in my face hole, huh?
Yeah, that about sums it up.
Well, I'm sure nothing bad can come of that. What's the worst that could happen?
A lot.
Yeah, definitely a lot.
Those out there listening, because we know you are, don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Power Word Nerd. You're why we do this.
Like and subscribe.
We wouldn't be where we are without the fans.
We see you there in Canada and what was the other country?
Denmark.
Denmark.
Mexico. Yeah, Denmark is like the nicest group of people. And Canada is too. Like, we got the two nicest countries in the world.
Yeah, right? I live in Canada. Relax.
Why are they following us?
I know, right?
Is this room poison and acid?
Oh, fuck.
Be the old poison acid room.
Poison and acid?
Fuck.
You're done. Roll new character.
Poison, acid, and fire.
Hi,
oh,
Dan.
Oh, shit. Oh, Dan's in here.
Oh, okay, what's up?
We can actually jump back to Dan.
You're up, Dan.
Hello there.
Look live.
Up for what? You're up.
Nadine went through the red portal. Now you have to deal with what the room is.
What do I see?
Look at the screen.
I see you guys.
You click on Ian's, he's streaming or whatever this. Yeah.
So you find yourself on a rock on one end of a relatively small room, surrounded by a field of lava. And on the far side of the room, you see a blue crystal skull right on the surface of the lava. There's no windows, there's no lights, there's no objects of any kind, just the rock you're standing on and the crystal skull on the opposite side of the room. You can feel the heat of the lava from where you are. It doesn't seem overwhelming from the point you're on the rock. But you imagine as you get closer to the lava itself, you're going to feel more and more of that burn.
Feel the burn, Dan.
Feel the burn.
And you would know that Kalos went in the portal before you and you don't see him there.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just trying to look at my spells real quick. I know there's a
I could summon some kind of familiar. Just gotta see what exactly.
It's okay. We waited 40 minutes for you, so with another three.
Well, I didn't expect that to do something. Yeah, can I just pass somewhere else while I'm trying to log into my stuff?
This isn't magic, Dan.
I'm trying to log into my thing. It's gonna take
yeah,
a couple
no,
minutes.
That's no problem. We'll jump to what we were going to do. So, meanwhile,
Dan.
Let's see.
Fucking Dan. So, yeah, I passed my turn.
I'd like to play Ancestral Visions, please.
So, Kallus, as you find yourself in the darkness where you were at, suddenly these lights begin to appear around you. And you feel yourself standing on a floor, even though you can't actually see a solid floor beneath your feet. But you do see the familiar walls of the tower around you. Also within the room, you do see Dothamir, who was waiting here alone. And as you appear in the room, Dothamir notices you, and you see his face light up, and this sense of relief almost wash over him. And he turns and looks at you, and he's like, I thought I was alone and my axe.
Where are we?
I don't know. I got here right before you.
So if we look around, all we see is blank walls?
Correct. You see, it's still the same stone from the tower. So you do know you are still located within the tower. But beyond that, you don't notice anything.
Is, I'm guessing, Dummy's there and he's fine?
Yeah, Dummy's just standing there right with you, just looking like Dummy.
What a dummy.
So how long have you been waiting here?
Oh, it's been about 5-10 minutes.
What have you discovered in the room? Or anything sticking out? Anything? Or is it just a blank room?
As far as I can tell, it's just a blank room. And right at that moment, Tinker and his turret pop into the room.
Am I missing my arm?
No. What? No, your arms are intact.
Oh. And we just pop in there? Is this after the dragon thing?
Yeah. So after you had that scenario happen and it faded to black, the same sort of thing happened where the blackness suddenly began to have lights appear, and you began to notice that you were back within the tower.
Was it an immediate change from dragon eating me to here?
You faded to black first, and then kind of faded into this room. So you're not sure like how long it actually was, but it felt just like a brief moment.
So Tinker's going to look around and be like, it has appeared. We have all died and become ghosts.
How did you die?
I was eaten by a gigantic red dragon.
I drowned.
I just walked through lava and touched a skull.
You were in lava?
Yeah.
Well, that would appear that you burnt to death.
No, look, my armor's fine.
Yes, but now I am one of the dead. And you
but
were
you were never dead. Living, so therefore we can't be dead.
Well, you can be dead.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be here.
But you have argued with me many times that I am not undead, so that would be I was alive. Meaning that now I am real dead.
Well, you weren't alive and you weren't undead. You're a construct.
You're a construct.
No, we both know that I am within a construct.
We are in construct heaven and real heaven.
I wouldn't be here and Dothamir wouldn't be here.
Why wouldn't I be here?
You're not a construct.
Maybe he is. Maybe he has squishy armor.
Dothamir's not going to heaven.
They're all constructs made by Bahamut.
Bang.
Rogma.
I'm going to go to the right wall and say, Tinker, start searching the walls. Maybe there's a lever or something hidden.
Does my dark vision goggles help me at all? See anything?
It just makes the walls a little bit brighter than they are.
Okay, I'll help look for at the walls.
So I'm going to walk over the walls, and I'm going to run my arm up and down and try to see if there's any irregularities in the wall.
All right. Make an investigation check.
And I'm going to have Dummy start on the other side, like you set him up.
Okay. You can do it with advantage then, like he's doing help action.
I can't. 13.
Okay. You search the walls for most of the room, and right as you're wrapping up on the final wall, your hand brushes a groove in the wall that you hadn't noticed before. And as you go down and kind of get a closer look at it, you notice that there are runes carved in the wall about a foot off the floor.
Do I notice the language?
You don't. What languages do you know?
I know Draconic and Goblin.
Yeah, so you don't recognize the language, but with your experience in crafting and making magic items, you do recognize these as magic runes. So you imagine they're tied to a spell of some kind.
Okay, would I understand what type of spell?
You can make an arcana check.
And no, I don't know. crit one for a total of 9.
Yeah. So for a total of 9, yeah. Nah, you're not quite sure. Seems to be a school of magic you're not as familiar with.
Okay. Tinker, come here. What do you suppose these markings are for?
Would I know there are magic runes?
Well, I mean, you're an artificer too.
Yeah, but I don't want to.
Yeah, given the or Kalos, are you sharing that information?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you, as soon as you're told like these are magic runes, you're like, oh yeah, that's pretty obvious.
Well, obviously, they are magic runes.
Yeah, but I'm drawing a blank on what they mean. Do you have any idea in your backup servos?
Let me check.
And you can make an arcana check as well.
Can I help him?
No, because you already made a check yourself.
Sure.
So, just to catch Donna up real quick. So, Don, after Dothamir was flushed in the previous room, he found himself in a floor of the tower where it was just kind of darkness around him with these lights flickering through the floor and air around him. And he was alone at first, but after like 5-10 minutes, first Kalos popped into the room and then Tinker.
What's up, guys?
Oh, hey.
Oh.
Hi.
So we're looking at magical runes.
All right, so I'm going, before I check my memory banks, can I cast Enhance Ability?
Yeah.
And I will grab my feather that I stole off that bird person. And I'm going to use Fox's Cunning. And that'll give me advantage.
What does the fox say?
Basically what he says.
Well, okay, I'm just going to ask, because Is Arcana considered an intelligence check because that's the modifier?
Yes.
I just wanted to double check.
You don't have your character sheet?
Oh, I do.
Some would say otherwise.
So I roll a 9 and a 21.
Yeah, 21's pretty good. So you are studying the runes, and you have like a moment of inspiration where you're like, wait, I'm not familiar with this type of magic, but... And you kind of go back through your memory banks and realize you've seen this type of rune before, actually within this tower, and it appears to be tied to some sort of teleportation magic.
We have seen runes before. They have something to do with the teleportation and how we have left the other rooms. I do not know what they say.
Well, that makes two of us.
Ian, is this in a language that Dathomir would recognize? I think I speak Draconic Celestial and then something else.
It's not actually in a language per se. It's they're arcane sigils.
Okay.
Now, you said that they were around a... What were the runes around?
They're on the wall. About a foot off of where you feel a floor, and they encircle the entire room.
Oh, okay. I am just going to circle the room, looking at the runes to see if there's a pattern.
All right. And at that moment, Blue pops into the room, along with Svilba. Svilba just a moment after Blue.
Ooh, it's candy. So, what do I pop in? Am I, or does it look like I kind of, just walk into the darkness, or walk out of the darkness?
Similar to the others, where that darkness that you'd found yourself fading into after your vision of the dragon, you now fade. It's like this room almost has, the lights slowly turned up for you. Where slowly the walls fade into vision, and then you begin to see those floating lights beneath your feet and in the air around you.
Okay, and then my next question is, are there actual lights in this room?
They're just these, magic flickers floating through the air, I guess, and that's casting all the light.
All right, yeah, my only question is, these guys see me? Yeah.
It's dim light, so I do believe they would be able to see you.
All right, cool.
And then moments after you appear, Svilba appears, and he immediately falls to the ground, and he's slapping at his clothes and his cloak as though trying to put out fire. And then he kind of stops as he realizes where he is and sees everyone, and kind of stands up and flattens his clothes down and composes himself, trying not to look like an idiot.
Look, Blue and the lizard folk have died as well.
It appears we are in hell.
How have you found your end?
What's that?
How'd you find your end?
At the end of a dragon.
You too. I was eaten by a red dragon.
Wait, what? I was burst the flame.
See, we are all dead. Which means I was alive.
This realization of the dragon thing, Dathomir pinches himself, make sure he's not sleeping or anything. Tinker, I believe that we are still alive.
No. You just said you drowned. That would mean you are not alive. I know this concept is confusing for mortals like you.
Are you saying you're immortal?
Got him.
Clearly I am not.
That means you
are also immortal, so this mortals like you is not incorrect.
Dathomir, I've tried this conversation with him about mortality. It doesn't stick. There's some faulty hardware or something. It's easier just to not engage.
Tinker
and Hermir now appear in the room.
Well, hello there.
Hello there.
Looks like the gang's all here, except where's Nadine?
Dan, are you ready?
His computer crashed.
Did he say that?
No.
Hey, yeah, I'm ready. I can't talk to you guys from my computer, so I have to switch back and forth from my phone to talk.
Me.
Okay.
Alright, so now we'll jump back down to Nadine and the lava room.
So the area I'm standing where it's like dirt, right?
It's like a boulder, and the tip of the boulder is coming up out of the lava around you, and you're standing on that part of the boulder.
How wide is the surface that I'm standing on?
It's about 18 feet wide by like 12 feet. So you got a decent amount of room. You're not going to fall off.
How far is it from the ledge of the place where I'm standing over to that blue skull? How far is that distance about approximately?
It's about 30 feet.
30 feet. 30 feet. Okay. All right, so I'm going to use my cantrip Mold Earth. And I'm going to attempt to excavate an area of dirt in the back portion of the place where I'm standing. So, like, farther away from, like, basically closer to the wall. I'm going to try to excavate 5 feet portion. How deep down does that go when I try to do that?
What does the spell do exactly?
It's a cantrip. You choose a portion of dirt or stone that you can see within range that fits within a 5 foot cube. You can manipulate it in one of the following ways. But before I try to manipulate it, I wanted to see if I could even do it. If I could even mold the earth before I try to manipulate the earth I mold.
Oh, yeah. So as you cast it on the section of rock, you are able to mold the rock itself.
Okay, awesome. So then what I'm going to do is I'm going to attempt to move it. So I dig like I'm trying to get like a narrow portion of dirt going 5 feet deep, basically like the width of the surface just large enough for me to stand on, but then as deep as possible, so like, you know, a few feet deep and just enough width for me to stand on. I'm going to try to take that dirt, I'm going to move it over to the end of the surface where I'm standing, and I'm going to see if I can like begin to build a bridge on that dirt. Does that work, or does that melt the lava, or what happens?
No, I dig it. So, you basically peel off a section of the rock itself and manipulate it to the other side of the rock. And as you do that, you begin to kind of form like a land bridge extending off the rock out into the lava. Slowly, basically just peeling pieces of the boulder off. You know, it takes a bunch of casts, obviously.
Oh, man, 30 feet away, it should take a little while.
Yeah, so when you're done, you've basically created a land bridge across the entire room.
Okay.
And the boulder itself is gone. You've just consumed all that material.
That's fine.
And
so go ahead, sorry.
Yep, you're able to just walk across the room now.
All right, so I'll take a peek at the skull and I'll examine it before touching it. Like, what do I see looking up close?
So, strangely, the skull is actually sitting on the surface of the lava, but not sinking into it. But the skull itself appears to be cut from a single, like, almost like a quartz crystal. And okay. There's no runes or anything on it. There doesn't seem to be anything unique about it beyond the intricate craftsmanship of the skull itself.
I'm going to take out my staff, and I'm going to reach out to the skull and poke it. What happens?
All right, we're going to come back next week. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, like, and subscribe. Power Word Nerd. Have a great day, everybody.